Queen's University, we're hearing this morning, axing jobs and student places because of Stormont budget cuts. You may have already heard the story this morning on Good Morning Ulster. Up to 1,000 student places will be lost over 3 years, as well as 236 staff jobs. Ulster University is also working out how cuts will affect them and say it's inevitable that student places will be lost there also. So the question, two questions for you this morning really, is it time Stormont raised the cost of tuition fees, or what other ways can you find to fill the big hole? How do we get more funding? Is student fees really the only answer? Joining me now to discuss this, the commentator Geoffrey Peel. The student and commentator Sarah Wright also joining us this morning. Good morning to you both. Geoffrey, let me start with you. I mean, you know, the university's facing these cuts, jobs being axed, places disappearing. Is hiking up tuition fees the only answer?
It's not the only answer, and it's not even necessarily an answer, but it's something that should certainly be considered. I think, though, there's something else going on here, because I think the so-called cuts are a very handy smokescreen. If you look at, for example, Queen's University's overall budget, student fees are only a relatively small portion, about a quarter, just over a quarter, and the central government grant is about a third. The grant actually hasn't been cut that much. It hasn't been cut significantly at all, and the university over recent years has been running a surplus. So I can't quite understand why it is that cuts are being used as an excuse for laying off staff. The staff that are being laid off are, it's a voluntary arrangement. There's not going to be any compulsory redundancies. So I think there's something else going on here. I think it's the university perhaps rejigging its offer. But certainly there's something wrong with the student fee structure when students from Northern Ireland are being charged in the 2015 academic year £3,800. And students from elsewhere in the United Kingdom are being charged £9,000. And yet, if you're a student from France and want to study in Queen's University, you also pay £3,800. The fee structure seems absolutely ludicrous. It just doesn't seem to me sensible to have a discriminatory fee structure that discriminates against students from GB that we would love to come and study here, that would perhaps dilute the parochialism and mindset of Northern Ireland.
Sarah Wright, what do you think's going on here?
To be honest, I'm obviously heard the news yesterday, but I'm incredibly disappointed. I believe that the Vice Chancellor is he's gearing up to ask for a fees increase. You know, we asked him at sort of the last academic council meeting, which I was still on in Queen's, and he was very vague. We said, well, what do you mean by private funding? And what he means is fees, but he just doesn't want to come out and say it. But I absolutely agree with Geoffrey in terms of the discrimination by charging other students three times, four times as much. I don't think there should be any place for that at universities in Northern Ireland. I don't think it's right. I argued against it whenever it came in. For example, I do politics. That's an average of 9 hours a week. So if students are paying £9,000 for 9 hours of class a week, you know, that's a bit extortionate. But, you know, I'm absolutely all for it. I don't think tuition fees are the way that we should be funding our education system.
So what would you do?
Well, it's about priorities. You know, if we value, and we should, because it's not just the student that benefits from a higher education. Having that kind of skill set attracts investors, attracts jobs for others that maybe haven't went to university. I would have... It should be a public-funded service, a fully public-funded service, and we should be putting the brunt of paying for that onto students.
But to be honest, it is pretty much publicly funded. If you take Queen's University's revenue, nearly two-thirds of it comes from the public purse, directly or indirectly. A third comes from central government grant. The student fees essentially come from the student loan company, and ultimately about 60% of student loans are written off or will be written
off in the future. So why on earth, if you know, such a high proportion, and whenever they raise the fees in England to 9,000, they're averaging, it's almost 50% will never pay them back. So you're given, by raising the fees that much, I mean, you're given half of the students a free education anyway, because they can't pay it off. And, you know, and poorer students that perhaps don't get, you know, as sort of lucrative jobs when they graduate, you know, they, because of interest and the way the payments work out, they actually pay more than people that just pay it off straight away when they get a great job. It is not a way we should be funding our universities. Other countries have been able to do it.
To be fair to the university, though, here, Joel, there's a separate issue. It is not really the university's prerogative to set the student fee levels. That's set by Dell. And I think this is a glaring example of why the university should be free. Queen's University is a Russell Group university. It does actually have, I suppose I'm biased because I'm Queen's alumni, but you know, the fact is that it is a fine university, as Russell Group. It should be able to set fees at levels similar to that of other Russell Group universities. Dell should not mandate the fee structure. And at the minute, Queen's has the ludicrous situation of charging fees almost three times higher to people from England and Scotland and Wales compared to students from Northern Ireland. And that is absolutely scandalous. We should not be discriminating against students in England, Scotland and Wales. We should be welcoming them with open arms, and also foreign students. But certainly foreign students, why on earth are we only charging them £3,800 to attend Russell Group University?
You know, international students are charged. They're basically used as cash cows by Queen's University because they pay so much more. They pay up above beyond the £9,000 a year. And that's why in the Vice-Chancellor's Vision 2020 that he talks about, he has asked for an increase in international students, meaning an increase in funding, because they charge them so much for the same education. So there's actually sort of a three-tiered structure. There's home students, there's GB students, and there's international students, and they're all charged completely different amounts. And as you say, obviously it is that we need to decide, you know, is this a priority for us? Like, if you look at we're paying for two separate teaching colleges. If we got rid of that and had obviously a single teaching college institution, we would have the money almost to the exact amount that would offset the costs here in Queen's.
There are a lot of people, though, Sarah, that will say, you know, there are financial burdens everywhere and cloths are being cut across many different areas. You know, why should students not be included?
Well, I mean, I don't think that we should be pitting people against other people in terms of students against...
Yeah, but it's reality, isn't it?
Well, other countries are able to do it. Other countries are obviously, you know, their economy isn't... But, you know, students are the economic creators there. If we place debt on such a huge proportion of people, you know, they're not going to consume as much. They're not going to... It hinders economic growth. It hinders our recovery.
Hinder economic growth in the United States, where student loans have been in operation for a much, much longer period.
Look at the level of
the
inequality. And look at, and you know, in terms of social mobility,
there is no issue about social inequality here. All students, regardless of their income levels, are eligible for student loans. And the fact is that they don't have to pay off those student loans until they have sufficient income that's deemed to be high enough to pay them off. So there's no social inequality in that respect.
It's not sustainable in any sense.
That's a different issue, though. That's a different issue. We have a system of student loans that, in order to pay for student fees. And it seems to me that if there is a single student loan awarding body and that those fees go to the universities, why should Queen's University and the University of Ulster essentially have a lower fee intake compared to universities in England, where they charge £9,000 a year? It seems ludicrous. I think £9,000 is too high, but similarly, I think £3,800 for a Russell Group university is too low.
Geoffrey, are too many people going to university these days?
Far too many, and there are many options. And one of the good effects of having the fee level increased would be to cause students to actually consider what it is that they want out of life and whether a university education is appropriate. We, for example, do not train our children in software coding. It's not even in the national curriculum. It's recently been introduced in GB. It hasn't yet made it onto the curriculum here in any serious way. And, you know, we're ignoring the skills that are needed for a digital economy. And universities, frankly, are not very good at teaching kids vocational skills for a digital economy. They're not geared up. I recently attended an event in London where a private sector organization had set up charging for a three-month intensive coding course. They were charging £6,000, and pretty much every one of those kids who came out of that course was pretty much guaranteed a job in the City of London, where there's a dearth of talent to go into the financial services industry. So, you know, we really need to think about what skills we need to create a vibrant digital economy in Northern Ireland. And unfortunately, universities are not providing the types of skills that are needed.
Would you go along with that, Sarah?
Well, I would argue that they are. I mean, we have, in Queen's at the moment, we have expensive sort of STEM subjects. And there is, you know, that push to inform and educate young people coming up, you know, making their, deciding on universities.
So if these places did go, Sarah, a thousand or just over 1,000 over the 3 years, what do you see as the consequences of that?
I mean, people are going to go elsewhere. And that was exactly what I said whenever the fees were raised for GB students.
And is the worry then that they go elsewhere, they could be very talented and they don't come back again and we don't see the benefit of their skills?
I mean, exactly. There's going to be even worse of a brain drain. And in terms, you know, people are going to go elsewhere, but a lot of people will just be, you know, they'll have the ability and they'll want to go to university, but they just won't. Because having that kind of debt hanging over you whenever you're just starting into your working world or you're getting a new, your first job and you're getting on that ladder, to have that amount of debt, and for the government to place that amount of a debt burden onto young people and students is ludicrous. We need to prioritise higher education. It benefits more than just the student. It benefits the whole of our economy, benefits Northern Ireland in terms of social mobility. It brings in jobs, and this is what we need to focus on. We need to prioritise it, and in order to do that, I don't think the fees are appropriate.
I want to get some callers in on this as well. 0845 955 678. Both stay there if you can. Alex is in Lisburn this morning. Morning, Alex.
Morning. Good morning. No, I was just listening to the conversation. I just want to make a number of points.
Yes.
I have one child, a daughter in England at university, and I have a son at Queen's. And frankly, the level of student fees didn't play any part in our calculations. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the amount of student fees is that important. The fact they have to borrow is that important to a lot of students. They seem to be quite willing to do it. So I think maybe the thing is they should have the same fees everywhere. But what I would say is this here, there's reference there about 9 hours lecturing. That should be addressed. It's not a case of that we should repay £3,000 for it. It should be addressed, the fact that it only is 9 hours and those courses need to be looked at. But what I would say is this here, it all comes down to, some weeks ago we talked about closing St Mary's. Would have saved, I think it was 150 million. Again, it was stopped by the powers in Stormont. I mean, they can't have it both ways. Every time there's a difficult decision to save money, they balk at it, they walk away from it, as in St Mary's, and then now we're going to lose places in a university. We're actually going to lose student places. Whereas they're sacrificing student places to protect the building, effectively.
I mean, is that a fair point, Geoffrey Peel, that every time it comes to something that's perceived to be that it might be unpopular, whether it be student fees, whether it be water charges, whether it be aspects of welfare reform, it's not implemented because, I don't know, maybe nobody wants to be seen as being the people that get the blame?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, in the case of the teacher training colleges, the Protestant Catholic arguments are totally spurious. You know, it clearly makes economic good sense to have one teaching college, to make it a secular based teaching college, to remove all religion from the argument. And in that respect, I think the proposals were very sound and well made. But of course, we have a political structure here that cannot really reach decisions because it is based on so-called consensus across the tribes, and the tribes can never agree because we have a political system based on tribalism.
Especially if your minister or your party's minister is going to be the person who's happens to be in the department when that decision is made, because you're going to be labelled with that forever and a day, aren't you?
Absolutely, and of course our tribal politicians always have to be seen to be playing the tribal tune, and it's, you know, this is the most significant issue facing politics and the political dialogue here.
And who's going to want to be the party that's seen to have a minister in place when tuition fees are introduced? Who's going to want to be seen as having the minister in place when water charges come in? It's not something that you really want to have to live with, is it?
Absolutely. And in order to move forward, I think it is actually, it's becoming ridiculous. We cannot move forward in benefits. We cannot move forward on education financing. We can't move forward on teacher training colleges. And I think at some stage, the Secretary of State and the new government is going to have to move in and say, I'm sorry, but some of these responsibilities are going to have to be devolved, if we can say that, brought back into direct administration, because at the minute we have a complete stalemate. We're not making any progress and nothing is going to happen.
Paul Gosling, who's a local economist, has called in this morning. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe.
Where do you think we go here?
Well, I think the issue that's really important to address is actually holding tuition fees down is counterproductive if what we want to do is to support poorer families, because actually what you get is what's called a grade inflation. In other words, it's more difficult to get into the Northern Ireland universities. Typically, richer kids, kids from better-off families, do better at school than poorer families. Consequently, what you're actually doing is forcing poorer kids out of the university system or else to go to GB to do courses where they're paying £9,000 tuition fees and, of course, with much higher costs of living in terms of day-to-day expenses. So although the idea for having lower tuition fees in Northern Ireland is a good one, in practice it actually discriminates against poorer families.
So this idea that putting them up would effectively hike students out of the market is wrong?
Well, you have to recognise that unless you're going to create extra capacity in the system, which means more places, then actually what you're doing is causing problems for poorer kids.
Geoffrey?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. In fact, it was in my notes here to mention this. Paul is absolutely right. There's this crowding out effect. And, you know, in order to get into some of the schools at Queen's University, the pharmacy department and so on, medical, et cetera, you have to have extraordinarily high grades, getting up to like 3A stars to get into some of these courses, which are in high demand. And, of course, we do have still a brain drain. We do have a significant number of kids who go to universities in England and who are perfectly happy and whose families are perfectly happy to pay £9,000 a year. Those are, and of course, the other issue here, too, is the nature of the course. The whole purpose of tertiary education is that we teach kids the courses that they want, that reflect their interests and their academic attainment, and therefore they have to go to where the courses suit their particular abilities, and that means going often to Great Britain or even further afield, and therefore they will have to pay the higher fees. So this argument about the £3,800 fee level for Northern Ireland students staying in Northern Ireland universities is spurious.
Mervyn's in Hollywood this morning. Morning, Mervyn.
How are you?
Very well, Mervyn.
Listen, Joel, I thought this conversation or debate was about the illusion of jobs in the education system in Northern Ireland, not about what students have to pay for an education. I think it's time people woke up in this country and realised that we have politicians, especially within the DUP, who are leading towards the Conservative Party point of view with regard to the economy. If people can't see that, then they don't want to see it. It's as simple as that. The Tories, the secret Tories in the DUP, and we are suffering because of that. The education system's suffering because of that. They have announced 20,000 jobs ago. That's what the Tories do. So if people genuinely can't see what's happening here, I think there's something seriously wrong.
Okay, Mervyn, have to leave it there because I have someone else to squeeze in between now and that 9:30. But thanks to Geoffrey Peel and to Sarah Wright and also to Paul Gosling. Nice to hear from him calling in this morning.